Back here where I sit, because of where the speakers are, I don't always hear, I can't always hear all the words of special music. If I know the song, then I know what, but I can't, if it's a song I don't know, I only can hear bits and pieces of it when you're, you just have to sit up here sometimes and see what I'm saying. But you can't always hear because you're behind the singer and the speakers are out there. But I heard that this morning, and it goes right along with what we're going to look at in Romans. Romans chapter 5. Last week we began looking at this chapter, and we're looking at God's method of salvation and how it is all about Jesus Christ. The saving of our soul, the keeping of our soul. That it's all about Him and what He did. And we can't add anything to that. And we rest secure in Him because of who He is. We saw last week that through Christ we are justified there in verse 1. We saw that through Christ we have peace. We saw the method of justification, which is faith in the finished work of Christ. And we saw the result of justification, which is peace with God. We saw in verse 2 that through Christ we have access. We have access into this grace. And we looked a little bit at, now that we have access into this grace, that our standing before God, our state might change from time to time, but our standing never changes because of who Jesus Christ is. Let's look at the entire passage. We've already covered the first few verses, but let's look at the entire passage again and then begin to break down this passage some more. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, that'd be a good one to just remind ourselves of, maybe on a daily basis. Maybe when temptation comes up, maybe when doubt comes up, maybe when fear comes up, maybe when we are faced with false teachings, false doctrines, and when there's trouble all around, maybe that would be a good one to carry around in the pocket. Maybe that would be a good one to keep written on a card somewhere. Maybe that one would be a good one to store away and remind ourselves, I am justified by faith, and I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. When the world or the devil or the flesh tries to convince me that my works have cost me my salvation, my lack of works or whatever it might be have affected my salvation, let us go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and say, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of anything I've done. I have peace with Him because of Jesus Christ, because of who He is and what He has done, and I rest in that. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have more to rejoice and hope for than anyone breathing this morning. Believers have more to hope for. We have more to rejoice about than anyone. When you look around at the world and see where it's headed, and it ain't good. When you look around and see everything, it's just falling apart, isn't it? Well, it has been since Adam and Eve took the first bite. It's been falling apart ever since. I mean, the thing's just wasting away, just winding down, like God said it was going to. Let the whole thing fall apart. I rest in Jesus Christ. And we've got to be telling other people how to find rest in Jesus Christ so that they don't fall apart with this world. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is not something that you can put in your heart. It's not something that you can manifest or that you can cause to grow in your heart. Only the Holy Spirit of God can manifest that love of God in your heart. And the Holy Spirit only dwells within you after you're saved. We get saved, He comes to indwell us, and then we understand what is that love of God in our hearts. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Pardon me. I know it. Just about the time you get over it in the fall, spring comes around, doesn't it? You get about 3 weeks off in the winter and 3 weeks off right in the middle of summer. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that, so here's how He did it, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, I hope you love that verse as much as this preacher does. I hope that verse means as much to every single one of us. Let's read that again. But God, why does it say, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but why does it say, but God? Because we're talking about a completely different love here. We're talking about a completely different situation here. But God commendeth His love toward us in that, here's how He showed it, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Scripture is full of, just full of wonderful, wonderful verses that make, pardon me, the eternal security of the believer, which we're going to talk about this morning, crystal clear. And verse 10 may be one of the best. Verse 10 may be one of the best verses that points out to us that after we are saved, nothing can change that fact. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. We just ask one thing this morning, that You would be glorified by giving us a better understanding so that we could be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you go back there to verse 3, we're looking at how through Christ we are justified, through Christ we have access, through Christ we have peace. And now we see in verses 3 through 5 that through Christ, because of Him, because of who He is, the Son of God, God in the flesh, because He does not sin, He cannot lie, because of who He continues to be, we can endure. And endure we're going to have to do. Because the life of a Christian, though it is wondrous, though it's full of so many joys, so many benefits, it is not always easy, is it? I said this morning in Sunday school that I worked with a teacher who used to say, she said one time, if you think that raising kids is easy, you're not doing it right. If you think raising kids is easy, you're not doing it right. It's challenging, isn't it? It takes some work. There's a lot involved in raising children. If you think, oh, this is a breeze, there's nothing to this, you're doing something wrong somewhere. Not that it's an uphill battle the whole way. I think every one of us would say that our children are a joy to raise. But it's still difficult, isn't it? You see, difficult doesn't remove joy. Just because something's hard and difficult doesn't mean that it isn't worth it, doesn't mean that it's not a joy. I'm privileged to be a Christian, that God would allow me to be saved. Then He let me be a husband. Blessing to me, curse to Amy. Blessing. Then He let us raise 4 children. And every one of those things, being a believer, being a husband, being a father, they require some work. And they're hard at times. And they're tough. But they're all worth it. They're all worth it. The Bible says here in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. You see, because of Christ and who He is, we can endure. We can look at the problems that we have. We can look at the tribulations. We can look at the heartaches. We can look at the rejection. We can look at the people who don't want to have anything to do with us anymore because of what we believe. We can look at the people who want to look down on us or call us names or mock or ridicule because we do it this way and everybody else does it another way. We can look at whatever these tribulations are, lost jobs, lost opportunities because of our belief. That's not fair. That shouldn't happen. Life isn't fair ever since the garden. People lose jobs all the time because of what they believe. No, it shouldn't be that way, but it is. That's welcome to life in a sinful world. We can either complain about how it's not fair or we can just accept that it's not fair and move on with it. But we look around at all these things that can happen. Tribulations. Persecution and problems and... You two gonna have to quit flirting now. Clayson's got to turn around and wink at Carol once every service. I don't know, at least one time. They usually have it over with during the songs, but now it's creeping into the preaching. All of these problems, all of these trials that we have, all of these things that we go through. How can we endure it? How can we handle it? Well, because of who our Lord is. Because through Him, we can glory in tribulations. Now, how do I look at a problem in my life and find reason to glory in it? Understand this. Understand that the Bible never tells us that we're excited about and we're happy about the hard times. They're still hard. They still hurt. They're still difficult. The Bible does not tell us to have the attitude where we get up in the morning and say, I hope everything goes wrong today. I know we've all had those days where we thought that's what we prayed in the morning. But the Bible does not tell us to get up with the mentality that says, man, I just hope everything that can go wrong goes wrong. I hope breakfast is burnt. I hope that the car doesn't start. I hope that low tire is completely flat. I am so excited that the alarm didn't go off. By the way, have you noticed the older you get, the more you blame the alarm for not going off? And then you realize, I think it is going off. I'm just shutting it off and going back to sleep and not remembering it. But as long as we can blame the alarm, let's keep blaming the alarm. I'm so glad that I got up late. Oh, the boss is mad and he's thinking about firing me. Yes! That's not what the Bible tells us. Oh, he's mad at me again. She's mad at me again. That's not why we glory in tribulations. It's not that we enjoy the hard times. What kind of deranged person has that mentality? No, what this means is we look at the problems, we look at the tribulations and say, I can glory in this because the end result is going to be that God will get the glory and I will be strengthened and drawn closer to Him and made more like His Son. We keep the end result in mind. That's why he says, okay, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Then he tells us why we glory in them. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And then you come to verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. He's indwelling you right now. And when, because of that, you have the love of God, you have that assurance, you have that hope that you are saved, that you will continue to be saved, that God is not going to leave you here, that you're going to spend eternity with Him, so you can look at things in this life and say, that's really not that big a deal. I have heaven to gain after all of this. That right there is not that big of a deal. And that thing right there can bring me closer to the one that I love. That thing right there can make me more like the one that I love. That thing right there can teach me more about the one that I love. We don't get up in the morning and say, bring it on, I hope it's rotten today. But we can get up and say, you know what, whether it's good or rotten, I know that no matter what, God can use everything that's coming at me today for His glory and to draw me closer to Him. For His glory to draw me closer to Him and make me more into the image of His Son, which is what He wants for us. And I can do that because I have that hope. I can do that because I'm saved. And I know that I'm not going to lose my salvation. And I know I have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling me. I have that promise. I think we'll read the verse this morning here in a little bit. I think I've got it down here for us to read. That the Holy Spirit of God is the earnest of our inheritance. What is that? Promise. Promise money. Earnest money, promise money. What is that? That's proof I'm going to come back and finish the transaction. I won't get ahead of myself because I think I have that one down for us to look at. But through Him we can endure. Knowing that we're saved, knowing that we're kept by Christ, helps us to endure the problems of this life. And if we endure these trials, we know that we can learn far more about God than we would if we didn't experience any pain whatsoever. You know, one of the things about going through trials is being able to turn around and help somebody else. Does anyone in here know the comfort of going through something that you think nobody understands and somebody tells you, I know exactly what you're going through. You say, oh, I don't know if you do. And they tell you exactly what you're going through. I've had it happen a few times. I'll give you one real quick example. This wasn't a big deal, but here's just a real quick illustration. I think that most, if not all of you, know that I'm one of those fortunate individuals who gets to endure the tribulations of migraine headaches. That's not a club you want to be in. Some of you have them far worse than I do. And you do have my sympathy because mine are, I think, getting better. But I remember when, you know, they just thought you were dying when I first started getting them. But I had these headaches for years before I knew what they were. I was a young child. We're driving back from, my mom and I were driving back from Bloomington when I was a kid, and I guess we'd been over there shopping, and we were headed back home, and I get, not everybody gets the same thing, I get the flashing lights and the blind spots, and if I look at you, half of your face is gone. I can't see half of your face. I see all these lines and everything. And that lasts for about 30 to 40 minutes, and then it clears up, and then comes the pain. It's just, that's how they work with me. And everybody gets them different. You know, some people get that. Some people get sensitivity to light. Some people get their stomach is sensitive. I have had that. I've had all of that. But normally, the way I described it, that's how it is. So we're riding home, and I'm about 12 years old, about 12, 13 years old, and I get this first one, and I think I'm going blind. And I had these things for quite a few years before they were diagnosed. Had no idea what they were. Went to an eye doctor. They didn't know what. You'd think an eye doctor would know what a migraine headache is, but they didn't know. And I can remember getting a headache in high school, going up to the teacher. It was in an agricultural class. And I walked up and I asked the teacher if I could go down and see the nurse, and I explained to her what was going on with me. But I didn't say very much. I just said, I get these real bad headaches and I'm having trouble seeing. And she said, okay. So she sent me down there. I'm on my way back and there's a girl, I think I'm a junior, I'm a freshman, a sophomore, and there's a girl who was a senior. I could still see her, but I don't remember her name. She was on her way down the hallway in the opposite direction as I am going. She was in the same class, and she had been out of the class, and I guess came back in and asked, you know, where I went or something. And she stopped me. She said, hey, Grant. She said, you've got a headache? And I said, yeah. And she said, is it? And she named off every single symptom that I had. You're seeing these lights and they look like this and they're shaped like that. And then it's kind of, you kind of blind. And then it's, I mean, she's naming everything. She's naming everything off that I'm going through. I said, yeah, that's it. She said, you're having migraine headaches. I have them. I get exactly what you're getting. Then I go to another doctor and tell him what's going on and say, could it be migraines? And he says, yeah, it sounds like migraines. But I can remember, I still remember that girl telling me, here's exactly what you're feeling. You're having migraines. And I was very relieved to finally know what was going on, because now maybe we could do something about it. Really, you can't. There's just not, you just deal with them. More than anything, you just deal with them. But I was so relieved to know, hey, I'm not going blind. I'm not the only one that's getting these. Other people get these. And then through the years, I've met all kinds of people, and some of you who get the exact same thing that I do. I say all that to say this. It's comforting. It's comforting when you speak to someone who knows what you're going through, knows exactly, because what does it do? It gives you hope. It gives you this comfort. It gives you this peace to know, hey, I'm not alone in this. It's going to be okay. Maybe for some of you it was an emotional thing, or it might have been with these headaches, a physical thing. It might have been a mental thing. Who knows? But there's comfort to know, I'm not alone. There's hope. Somebody understands. Well, when we look around at the things of this world, and how it's just falling apart, there's no greater comfort than to know my Savior knows, and He's not going to leave me, and He's going to come back and get me. I can go ahead and walk through this trial. Even if I felt that I was the only one on earth that had ever been here, my Savior has been there. And at the end of this, I'll be closer to Him. And I'll know Him better. And I'll be stronger for it. Now you tell me where the world can give us that kind of hope, give us that kind of comfort, give us that kind of peace. Only our Savior can do such a thing. By the way, when we are going through problems, when we are going through tribulations, when we're going through temptations, when we're dealing with things, keep 1 Corinthians 10 in mind. Let's go ahead and turn it. Just turn right over there a few pages. 1 Corinthians 10. You know this verse. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Hey, I'm saved. And I can go through this, whatever it is. Whether it's a temptation or just a trial, or just a hard time, I can go through it because I'm saved. Because Christ never fails. Because Christ will never leave me nor forsake me. And because He has already been here, and the very fact that I'm here means that I can go through it with Him. According to this verse, none of us have a right to say, I can't handle this. Now, it is true that we can't handle it by ourselves. But we cannot look at a temptation, we cannot look at something and say, this is too much for me. There's no way that, hey, if you're there, that means that God will make a way for you to escape it. We're talking specifically about temptations here. But that's one of the tribulations that we have. We live in a fallen, sinful world. We have a flesh that has not yet been redeemed, like the inner man is. And so we battle with it. But we can't say, it was more than I could bear. No, it isn't. By yourself, yes. But this verse promises us, if we face a temptation and we fail, it's because we simply didn't take the way of escape. We didn't take the way of escape that God made for us, for whatever reason it was. Because He promises right here, you'll never go through anything that He hasn't already made the escape route for. You know, every building by law has to have exits clearly marked, and the doors have to be big enough. And you have to have enough doors depending on how big the building is. And in schools, every classroom has the fire escape route drawn out. Surely they still do. They did when I was in school. They still have those, I would say. And you practice that, you know. And you practice it so much that kids never take it serious. They always think that it's a practice every time. But the way of escape is right there by the door. And I can remember being a kid and standing in line, you know, going somewhere, going to lunch, going to PE, whatever, gym, and stand there, and right there it was. Here's where you go if things are on fire. Here's where you go. You go this way. You're in this room, you're in this building, but we've made a way for you to get out if there's trouble. Every temptation that we face is like that. Here you are, you're in it. And right here is the answer to how you get out. Stay in this and we'll know. We'll know. Here's how I get out of it. Here's how I get away from it. Here's how I resist it. Here's how I don't fall. So you see, we can go through. Because of Christ and who He is, we are able to go through problems, tribulations. We're able to go through temptations. We're able to go through all kinds of troubles. Not because of us and our own strength. Simply because of who Jesus is. So why would Paul bring this out? He's talking about God's method for salvation. Well, this is one more way of showing us and proving to us this right here. It's just another example. It's another way of God showing us It's all about Jesus Christ. You're justified because of Him. You have peace because of Him. You have access because of Him. You can endure because of Him. You have hope because of Him. Have we seen anywhere in here where any of this relies upon us? Paul, remember, in the first few chapters, was driving home the point, especially to the Jews. You cannot be saved by the law. You are not saved by the law. The law cannot save you. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has come short. And we see how Paul just kept on and kept on and kept on. What's he doing now in this chapter? It is all about Christ. It is all about Christ. It is all about Christ. And you say, Pastor, listen, I've been saved since I was young. I've always been in a good fundamental Baptist church. I know these things. Well, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the right church. Every one of us, if we do not remain diligent and close to our Lord in fellowship, every one of us is capable of going back to resting in our own flesh, not resting completely in Him, picking things up with our own hands that we already laid down or put in His hands. We all, if we're not careful, are capable of doing that, so we have to go back and be reminded, hey, and as I said earlier, we live in a world that's always trying to tell us that it's about us. We have an adversary who's seeking whom he may devour. Wants to ruin your witness, ruin your testimony. Hey, one of the best ways he can do it is get you to trust your own flesh. Get you to trust in yourself. You see, what is your strength? Our strength is in our Savior, who He is, not in my own flesh. What would the devil love to do? Cut off the supply of our strength. He can't cause you to stop being saved, but if he can get you carnally minded or out of the Word and into the world, then we become weak. It's an old tactic used by militaries of the world for years. Cut off the supply line. Cut off the food, cut off their medical supplies, and just wait. Just wait. And then when they're weak, we attack. When they're weak, then we hit them. But what would the devil love to do to us? Get us to rely on something other than Jesus Christ for our strength. But if we would remain mindful that it's all about Him, my strength comes from Him. If He can do it, I can do it because I do it through Him. And He already did it. He's already won. He already has that victory. And through salvation, as we sang, He gives us that victory. He already has it. And you and I have it. He has given it to us. What are you going to do with it? Are we going to keep trying to do things and win battles and face tribulations and all this stuff in our own strength? Or are we going to say, no. No. The Lord goes before me. The Lord goes before me. I will not put on the armor of Grant. I will put on the armor of the Lord. I will not take the sword of Grant. I will take the sword of the Lord. I'll not put my helmet on. I will put on the helmet of salvation. I'll not fight in my own strength, my own power, but I'll go in His might, in His power, in His strength. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul said, the same one who wrote, hey, tribulations, patience, experience, hope. He was the same one that said that he went to the Lord three times and asked Him to remove the thorn in his flesh. And the Lord said, My grace is sufficient for thee.
You don't need me to remove that thorn. You need my grace. That's all you need. You see, sometimes we kind of, I know I said we'd talk about eternal security, but I'm going to close with this, and we'll talk about eternal security tonight just because I think this is a good place to close here. And we will finish this up and talk about eternal security this evening. I just think this is where we're supposed to stop. We sometimes think we have the answer, don't we? I mean, listen to how we pray sometimes. Sometimes we do more dictating than anything. Even if we don't mean to tell God, what we just kind of, Lord, will you do it like this? I'd like to see this and this and this. And we kind of insert a little bit too much. I'm not talking about, you know, he wants us to make our requests known unto him and our petitions and everything. But sometimes we kind of dictate how we want it done. But I'm glad that he does it the way it's supposed to be done, the way he wants to do it, because I'm always finding out that the way I thought it needed to be done was not even close to being right. And I think about children, especially, you know, little 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, just little bitty kids. There is a reason we don't let them make the menu for the week, isn't there? Yeah, there's a big reason. Amy has a calendar that she hangs on the refrigerator that she makes out the menu for the month. And then that she makes her grocery bill, her grocery list off of that. Okay? And she makes it in pencil so we can change it once in a while, but she makes out kind of basically what the menu is. And one of the reasons is for her grocery list, and another reason is she said so that we don't have the same thing over and over and over again, because sometimes you forget how many times you've made the, until somebody starts complaining or won't eat it. Won't you eat that? Well, because we had it 9 times last week and there's only 7 days in last week. I don't even know how you pulled it off. Okay? But you go to that menu. And I'm going to tell you what, this, I don't know how many of you do that in your home. I don't know how many, your mothers did that. I don't know. But that's completely foreign to me. When I was growing up, single parent, you know, my mom was a single parent. I was home a lot. It was, the menu was, what can you find? Just what's in there? What can you make without burning the house down? Okay? I'm just not used to that. I like it, though. Just like I like to go to a restaurant and open a menu, I just walk up to the refrigerator and say, ooh, what are we having this week? I like it. There's a reason why it says things like roast and meatloaf and spaghetti. And I know you're looking at me thinking I'm the reason it says all of that. But there's a reason why it's that kind of food. You know, there's a reason why it doesn't say M&M's, Nerds, Twinkies. And no, it's not because I don't get to make the list out. If we let, I was going to say Clayson, but really if we let any of the kids fill it out, maybe even if I got a hold of the pencil, it, you know, little Debbie's here, we'd be in bad shape, wouldn't we? Why don't we let the little ones pick out what we're going to eat? Because they don't know what they need. They know what they want. They know what they think they need. They don't know what they need. There's a reason why when we go to the Lord, we shouldn't dictate to Him how we want it done. We think we know what we need. We have no idea. Because He sees the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He knows. We don't know. And just like a child thinks that an apple pie or ice cream or whatever will be plenty. Oh, it tastes good and it fills me up. And yeah, but son, you don't know. You don't know what your body needs. Paul went to the Lord and said, Will you please take this thorn from my flesh? Whatever it was, would you please take this thorn from my flesh? Would you please? Three times. Why did he ask? That's what he wanted, and obviously that's what he thought needed to be done. And God came right back and basically said to him, Paul, that's not what you need. All you need is my grace. My grace is sufficient. That means it's enough. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is what you need. My grace is all that you need. And Paul, whatever this thorn was, people have speculated, we just don't know. And I believe there's a reason why God didn't tell us, because we can apply it everywhere we need to apply it. Whatever it is, we come to the Lord, and he can say right back to us, no, I know what you need. You need my grace. It's sufficient. I'll help you through this. So because of who Christ is, because he's God in the flesh, because he has risen from the grave, because he's the Savior, he cannot lie, he cannot fail. I'm justified. I have peace with God through him. I have access into grace through him. And I can endure any tribulation. And through that, gain experience and patience and hope because of him. Not because of me, but because of him. Because of who he is. Because he's already been there. He's already been victorious. He's already come up out of the grave. He already knows where I'm headed. He already knows what's coming. He knows what's best for me. I don't even come close. So are we resting in what we think is right, or our works, or what? Or are we just simply resting in Jesus Christ? And church, again, I think it's very important that we remind ourselves, if we're not careful, no matter how long you've been saved or how long you've been in a Bible-believing church, you can, if you're not careful, slip back to relying on the flesh, resting in yourself. And the only cure to keep, the only, it's not a cure, but the only prevention for that is to stay close to the Word and stay close to God in fellowship and keep being reminded that it's all about Him, it's all about Him. So that we don't find at any time that we are forgetting who it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about you. And to that we would all say, amen, I'm glad it's not. But it's all about Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to look at how our security, the keeping, not just the saving, but the keeping of our souls is all about Him. And I will tell you this, while we close, I will tell you this. That really is one of the main truths that people who don't, I know we believe in eternal security here, but if you know somebody who doesn't, one of the main lessons that they have to learn to understand it is they have to, because I've been there, you have to stop thinking that your salvation or the keeping of your soul has anything to do with who you are. You have to really get a hold of the fact that every single bit of it rests completely in who Jesus Christ is. And sometimes it takes a while to get that through these skulls. It did with me. But we're going to look at that tonight. Let's pray and then be dismissed. Hey, Brother Jim, did we have a wreck out there? I heard the crash and I saw you get up.
There's fire trucks. One going by now, so maybe it's over.
But it's not up here on 20 near us? Okay.
Sounds like it was down a little further.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did hear I heard it and saw Jim get up. There was a boom, a crash or something. I just wanted to warn the people, if don't go this way, go that way. But apparently we're all clear around here. So, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this blessed truth that we've looked at today, that it's all about you. It's all about your Son. It rests completely in you. Help us to rest completely in you. Help us to remember we are complete in you.
And Lord, I pray that we all pray, Lord, that you would help us to be ever mindful of this and draw us closer to you in fellowship. And Lord, bring us back again here tonight so that we can learn more about your method of salvation and why it is that we are safe and secure in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.